together.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. By now, if you celebrate Christmas, you probably have a tree up. Judging by this crowd, mostly artificial. But maybe some of you have a real tree like I opted for. That's up. And you're doing this shopping thing at this point. Hopefully it's all sewed up, because if not, oh, Godspeed, braving the crowds as you get closer and closer to Christmas Eve. Be honest, how many of you are still shopping on Christmas Eve? Those last-minute deals? Wait a second, it's 5 till 6, the store closes. I still have 15 presents to get. You're in trouble if you wait that long. Speaking of waiting, though, we certainly know that our politicians like to wait, because this whole payroll tax extension deal and also the unemployment extension hangs in the balance, too. So that continues to provide angst to the rest of the nation, whether you think it should be extended or you think it shouldn't be extended and you wonder where the money's coming from. It's constantly hanging in the balance. So now supposedly the House is going to vote down the payroll tax cut extension because it's just a Band-Aid. Here's a quick snippet of Nancy Pelosi on booting it to the second day of the week.
Earlier this evening, and you were probably there, I saw the Republican leader say that tomorrow we would have the opportunity to vote on the Senate bill. I've just heard from our ranking member on the Rules Committee that that is not the case, that they have instructed them that we will not put in order an opportunity to vote on the Senate bill.
Wow. So Pelosi says no, and others say yes, they're going to try to do that. So which is it? Probably no, which means it just hangs in the balance. And does the Senate come back, then it gets booted to committee? Who cares? At this point, just know if you were expecting that money, don't count on it. If you were, like me, concerned, well, geez, what kind of deals are they making and where's the money coming from? Doesn't matter, because it's just sitting on ice. You have a better chance of drinking too much eggnog than waiting for this thing to happen. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we move from the politicians who can't seem to make up their mind and get things done before they leave for the holidays to already some of the chaos that looks like it could be opening up in Iraq. And we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott this hour, terrorism expert, about now what happens. War reparations, he says, fat chance. You know, I say that every single time we talk about getting out, okay, let's see the check, let's see the money. We spend how many billions? He says we'll never, ever see it. And he expects a Pandora's box, a nightmare, to open up now. So there's an arrest order for a Sunni leader in this new rift. See, this is the thing. The religious discord between the Shiites, the Sunnis, and, of course, throw in the Kurds. So that is a huge story. Just a couple days after our last troops leave that country, our last combat troops, now there's a political crisis because you have a Shiite-dominated government, and they're saying, we want the arrest of the Sunni VP because they're accusing him of running a death squad that assassinated cops and government officials. So can you imagine? What is the response from Washington? Of course, worried. Iraq's certainly tenuous partnership is on the brink of collapse now at this point, and a major Sunni-backed political coalition is saying, according to the New York Times, that its ministers would walk off their jobs, leaving agencies that handle Iraq's finances, schools, and agriculture, just leaving it. So the accusations against his VP, his name is Tariq al-Hassimi, also just pop open those fears that the leaders may now be using the very institutions that America spent millions of dollars trying to strengthen, like, remember all the experts we talked about, the courts, the police, the media, as a way to batter the enemies and consolidate power. Again, not a shock. In Washington, while they celebrated for a day the end of the war, now they're sounding alarms about the arrest of Hashimi. And actually, the National Security Council spokesperson, this guy named Tommy Vietor, he said, "We're talking to all the parties, and we certainly expressed our concern regarding these developments." Here we go. Not even, what, 2 days later. And the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, and Hashimi, there's no love lost there. And right after the troops leave, all these years of trying to urge the government to work with the Sunni minority, and now things falling apart. I mean, for goodness sake, half the troops aren't even back yet. I mean, they're on their way back. They've left Iraq, but they're not here yet. So do we go back to that country, get dragged back into the chaos? No way. Wait till you hear what Jeff Atticott has to say again. That's coming up a little bit later this hour of ATN. But here we go. This is a big I told you so. A big I told you so. And it was easy to make a case against him because they had three men who said they had committed murder on Hashimi's behalf. They had blown up cars, attacked convoys with silencers, and were rewarded with envelopes containing $3,000 in American money. And I think this is sadly just the tip of the iceberg. So sorry to start on such a downer note, both with the craziness of the tug of war, the constant tug of war that never ends over the payroll tax extension, and then this craziness in Iraq, the rift just opening up and sucking everything in its wake, and looking at the potential collapse of now what is very fragile and has been set up there, to a couple of other things that are worth mentioning here at the onset of this hour of America tonight. Have you noticed, and I don't know if this is happening in, I can't say every neighborhood, but have you noticed suddenly we've had some pretty daring things happen, showing, I think, that the desperation of what's going on in the economy, where people are stealing packages. UPS is saying that there's been an increase in people stealing packages off of porches because they watch to see where the brown truck goes, and they go and immediately try to rip off the package, or watching neighborhoods closer to kind of case who's in and out of them. Not that this is something that hasn't happened forever in a day, but you might be getting those alarm calls. I talked to somebody who worked for an alarm company today, and wait till you hear what he had to tell me. Stay with us. That's coming up around the bend.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down, but every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. That wicked snowstorm that stranded even skiers who were just trying to get to the slopes in Colorado and they couldn't get through because of sleet and dangerous road conditions. New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma affected. And now in the forecast, there's a chance that some people might have a white Christmas. White Christmas is good when you're where you have to be, inside the house, and you don't have to travel anywhere. If you have to travel somewhere at the tail end of the week, not so great. Also, someday I want to be a friend of somebody powerful where I'm not going to get in trouble illegally, you know, be taken down with them. But I'd love to just see my name on a paper that says Friends of Angelo Mozilla. Well, not Angelo Mozilla, but Friends of whoever, where you get that deep discount. So four Congress people got discounted loans from Countrywide. But now it's a question of the ethics committees digging into it. It's a question of, did they break any rules? See, that's why Chris Dodd got out of Dodge. You know, it's easy and convenient to say, redistricting, I've been doing this forever, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, right. Except for that, he and Kent Conrad, both of those senators, both of them had an incredible VIP loan from Countrywide, and both of them claimed ignorance. They didn't know they were getting a deal. Because, of course, how could you not know what you're signing, since I don't care if you're a congressperson, a senator, who you are, you have to sign the documents for your homes. You don't read it? Well, it's kind of like not reading the bills that they vote on. All right, let's go to Dan in Texas. Hey, Dan.
Hello, Kate. I had to put my headphones down.
Dan, let me ask you something. I know you're a smart guy.
Yeah.
I bet you don't. Nobody puts a document in front of you for a house, for a car, for a deer lease, for anything, where you don't read it, right?
quite true.
Okay. So I'm just checking, because Chris Dodd couldn't read, apparently, and neither could Kent Conrad.
Okay, I'll touch on that in a second. Now, you and I both talked about the situation that was going to happen in Iraq, and both of us came to the same conclusion. Our prescription for that was turn it into a field of glass and let God sort them out. Remember?
Yes.
Okay, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, you know, my love for the Slums is non-existent. Doesn't matter if they're Shia or Sony, goodbye. Also, Tortilla, see you in heaven or hell or wherever. But you're gone. That's the way I feel about these clowns. Now, on the tax thing that they're trying to put through, All right, Social Security is funded by that tax.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that tax, it's going to come back to bite us in the butt. Mm-hmm. All of the senior citizens are going to get less money. Obama mm-hmm. knows this. He's trying to put a stick in our eye. And that's all that is. They got away with it the first time. That's going to cost us money in the future. And all new people who will be coming on are going to be getting less because, well, we gave you $1,000 apiece to everybody in America that pays taxes, blah, blah, blah. Even people that don't pay taxes. They all got the pie. Okay, now to get back to the countrywide situation. You're right.
Yeah, let me stop you there, though, too. You said something interesting, and you're right. And then to people who don't pay taxes. So that
exactly.
is pretty ridiculous.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't believe in the earned income credit routine
yeah.
where you get so much money for having kids. I mean, there's people lined up in Mexico that come across the border that have jobs here, have kids listed as being here, but they live in Mexico, but they come over here and they get paid thousands and
yeah.
thousands of dollars
yeah. You're right.
every single year right after the first of the year.
I know.
And it's just a drain on the American
You're
taxpayer.
Right. You're right.
I'm not against Mexicans. I love Mexicans. I've got Mexican friends, and I got a Mexican girlfriend that I've had for years, and, you know, she was a real sweetheart until I moved to Texas, and she's in California. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is.
Right.
And so that's just taking money out of our pockets. You
right.
and me, taxpayer.
Yeah.
And even the people that don't pay taxes as we normally do, but because they're being hijacked by the extra prices that come in contact with them for everything from cars to toilet paper.
Yeah, you're right. You're
okay.
Right.
Now to get back to the Angelo deal with Kid Conrad and Dodd. There's a whole lot of skullduggery that's going on out there, and I'm in favor of a 10% tax for the government to take from us. Give 10% to God on our tidings, 10% to our federal government. If they can't live on that, tell them to drop dead and start cutting some of these welfare programs, some of these other programs, even if it took Biden into Social Security. It's not part of the Constitution. It's unconstitutional. All of the mandates and stuff they put forward. Get the damn teachers out of Washington, D.C. and put it all back to the states where we got input in our own county, our own state, and our own teachers. And that's my little song and dance for tonight, guy, girl.
Yeah,
love you.
I agree with you. Thanks. Back at you. A lot of agreement there and some of the stuff that you said. I absolutely agree about the 10%. You know, I'm for flat or fair. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but there is a way to make that happen. There's made a way to make that work. Truly, I believe there is. And then some of the moaning, the bemoaning the situations and everything in between would just simply go away because it would be all equal. Everybody would know what the score is, and that would be that. Seems so easy. That's why it will not happen anytime soon. It will not happen. All right, let's talk about the weather. The weather outside was frightening for some people. Frightening enough that they couldn't actually, in the Southwest, the people who wanted to ski couldn't actually get there. Bummer. You know, you got your skis, you're ready to roll, and unfortunately you're heading out to Colorado and New Mexico, but you're stuck. You're stuck because of the blizzard conditions, because there's no way, you can't even see in front of you. So you think you're going to go down a slope in that? You're not even going to get to the slope with an icy highway. In the Colorado Plains, that's what it was like. And so what happened was you had a snowstorm, a late autumn snowstorm that just pushed off and deep into Monday, and you had winds, you had ice, terrible visibility is the key thing, and thousands of people with travel plans, maybe just 2 days before they were ready to roll, are worried that they're going to be stuck. But this is also 2 days before the official start of winter. Here's what some people had to say.
A lot of whiteout conditions, and they've already had a few accidents, so it's not looking good, so especially if you're in a car.
Better to play it safe than sorry?
Right, I suppose so. Need to get home, though. But looks like we'll be hanging out in Vegas for a little bit.
Darn, I have to hang out in Vegas. Ugh. Yeah, it's bad when you can't see. Oh, I've been in those situations. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a whiteout. Oof. Matt, have you ever, you're in the land of snow. Have you ever been in a whiteout?
I have.
Oh, it's scary, isn't it, if you're in a car?
It definitely is scary, but at the same time, most of those conditions, you're the only one out on the road. So
you're the only idiot out there.
Right, so it's a little easier, but you just got to make sure you go slow and be prepared to slide a lot.
Yes, be prepared to slide for sure. Hey, speaking of being prepared, are you ever prepared when you are calling a game for the lights going out in professional football at a stadium? Here's what happened for Monday Night Football twice.
The players were back up, had finished their warm-ups on the field, and had gone up the tunnel. So all the players were back in the locker room, the last-minute conversation with the coaches. The officials had just started to come out. The pregame was going on. As a matter of fact, as the lights went out, the cheerleaders were on the field. Some presentation was going on, and they kept going.
You sure this isn't Halloween? We've just had our second power failure, and at least we have lights in the press box and can stay on the air and tell you that the Steelers will start at their 20-yard line with 12:13 to go in the second quarter, trailing 6-0.
I mean, the Steelers wish the lights stayed out because the lights were turned out on them. Ben Roethlisberger, who had a high ankle sprain, was really battling it, had four turnovers, and it was a 23 win for San Francisco.
He single-handedly killed my fantasy dreams.
Oh, he did.
They needed to put Charlie Batch in so I could get some Antonio Brown love because Roethlisberger could not complete a pass to save his life. He looked horrible out there. I mean, I give the guy credit for going out there and, you know, fighting through the pain, but at some point, you got to take him out of there. He couldn't move at all, and the 49ers' defense was all over him, and he just didn't look like himself, and I think they made a mistake leaving him in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I watched that, and he looked uncomfortable the entire time. Matt's right. A high ankle sprain is tough. Any of you weekend warriors know that. I mean, stat-wise, he had numbers. He was 25 of 44, 330 yards, but for what? He was picked off three times, lost a fumble. It was rough. And those power outages, but congratulations to San Francisco.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In the event of an emergency, do you really trust Obama and the federal government to provide for you and your family? Modern-day emergencies like floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, snowstorms, terrorist attacks, or anything else can strike anywhere, leaving your family vulnerable. That's why you can't afford to be without emergency food supplies. If you're like most people, you know that you need emergency food supplies, but you keep putting it off. So, to help you, Ready Reserve Foods is offering a free sample kit of emergency food so you can test our food for yourself. The food really is free. You simply pay for the shipping and we'll send you the food for free. To get your free sample kit of emergency food, simply call 800-453-2202 or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Again, that's 1-800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com. Don't wait. Call now because the free sample kits are limited. So call 800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Very excited about our next guest. He's in the wings in our very expensive virtual green room. We're going to introduce you to Jason Bloom. He's the founder and president of Bloom Strategic Consulting. You say, well, what's that? Well, he's been a jury consultant for 15 years. How many of you, we've talked about this, have been on juries? How many of you have been witnesses? How many of you have been nervous? Shockingly, I could raise my hand and say I was one of those people. I was a witness in a case once, and we didn't have the attorney didn't have a consultant like Jason, so we really didn't get too much prep. And you think it's okay, you know what you're saying, and then you suddenly get in the courtroom and things change dramatically. Hey, Jason, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, how, I gotta ask you this question. How do you go into this business? What was it that made you pursue this path? Why the jury consulting thing? Did you see that there was a big need for it? There was a chasm there? Or what was it that drew you to it?
It's an interesting question you ask. I get asked that a lot. Really, I like psychology. I like psychology a lot, but I did not want to be a therapist or a counselor or work with people who have mental illnesses. I also like law. I liked law a lot. I was fascinated, though, with the courtroom. So I didn't really want to be a lawyer unless I could only be in the courtroom. So I found this jury consulting arena, which was very, very new. Weren't a lot of people who were doing research on jury decision-making. Weren't a lot of people who were actually practicing as jury consultants back in the early 90s. And I found it, discovered it, and set out to do it, and have been doing it since.
So how does it work? So if I'm a lawyer and I've got a big civil case, Typically, is it the lawyer or the company that might come to you and ask for your services to, you know, set up a mock trial, to go through a shadow jury, that kind of thing? What's the usual course?
It's mostly coming from the outside counsel, but sometimes I'm getting calls from in-house counsel at corporations. But mainly it's from the outside lawyers who I've developed relationships with or who learn about me through other trial lawyers around the country.
And you've done over 300 mock jury studies. So what have you learned? What are some common things that you see in jurors that you look for when they're going through the process? Let's say you have a case and you're going through the process of weeding people out and trying to get the right people for your particular client.
Well, I view jurors like icebergs. What you see above water are the demographics, age, ethnicity, gender, things like that. What's below the water are attitudes, life experiences, and predispositions, which I've found are much more predictive of their verdict orientation at the outset of a case. So when I'm doing these mock jury studies, I'm partially doing juror profiling. I'm trying to figure out, are there some life experiences or attitudes out there that are going to predispose certain people to be against or perhaps for my client's case and my client's positions. More importantly, though, in the mock trials and the focus groups, what we're trying to do there is really eliminate the guesswork. What we're doing is testing out the case to see what resonates, to learn what's important, to learn what's not important at the jury level. What I've really learned in doing all of this, which is still fascinating to me, is there's a gap probably the size of an ocean between what lawyers and witnesses want to tell juries or decision makers and what these juries actually want to see, actually want to hear, and actually care about towards making their ultimate decisions and rendering verdicts. My entire career operates within that space between the lawyers and the ultimate audience, the jury.
Yeah. Do you find, Jason, because I come from a family of lawyers, and they speak legalese. It's like a foreign language, and I always tell them, dumb it down. Do you find sometimes that the lawyers use big words and that kind of loses a jury?
I really, really do. And what I find myself doing a lot is teaching these lawyers and witnesses that their audience, who is a jury, are blank slates. They really don't know anything about the subject matter. They actually feel unqualified to judge cases about, you know, complex contracts and stuff like that. But that's the sandbox we're playing in. So while we can move the jury up a little bit in terms of their understanding, it's a lot easier to move the lawyers and the witnesses down to their level. I often tell witnesses and lawyers, you have to meet your audience. You have to meet your jury where they are rather than bring them to where you are.
Yeah. To explain to the audience, because there's people listening all over the country, like in Lexington, Kentucky, in New York City, in Dallas, Texas, in Austin, Texas, in Illinois, all kinds of people that have been all through the systems. Many of them have been jurors. We've talked about it often on this show. We've talked about whether or not you can get a fair trial. In fact, I'll ask you that question because you've seen it. You're there. You're looking in the fishbowl. Do you think in this country you can still get a fair trial?
Absolutely. But inside the courtroom, what you have to know is perception is reality. I'm a firm, firm believer in the jury system. I believe juries get it right. But juries get it right based on their perception of the facts, not the facts. So it's the lawyers and or the witnesses' job to create those perceptions. In one regard, you could think of lawyers and witnesses as nothing more than perception managers for the ultimate decision maker for the jury.
Yeah. You do these things called shadow juries, and I think people would find this fascinating. Explain a shadow jury and how that works.
Shadow juries are very much behind the scenes. And so what takes place is during an actual trial, we will hire people to act as spectator jurors or shadow jurors. What they basically do would be watch the trial from the gallery, from the audience section, as if they were jurors. They're only inside the courtroom when the actual jury is in there. Instead of going home at the end of the day, which the actual jury would do, they would go to a conference room, a conference center, a hotel ballroom, a meeting room after the conclusion of the trial day and be interviewed about what they thought was important, what they thought was not important, their impressions of the trial proceedings for that particular day. After the interviews, the feedback, the data coming from those interviews would be put into a report that is then submitted later that evening to the trial team, whichever side that we're working for. So in essence, the lawyers that have hired us are getting sort of a halftime report about how they're doing at trial every single night. They can use this to navigate their trial strategy, and they can also use it to eliminate a lot of the guesswork that's associated with wondering what on earth does the jury think.
Yeah, and that guesswork can really mean the difference. If you're talking about criminally, you and I both know that could mean maybe jail time for somebody. If you're talking about civilly, it can mean hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars. So I think you have to take every hedge that you can. Have you ever seen, and I'm sure you have, in talking about this, a lawyer completely revamp his case because of things that you learned with a shadow jury?
Absolutely. I've seen corporations tear up settlement checks based on it, but I have seen lawyers and witnesses completely revamp the angle they were going, their strategy. What usually happens, both in the mock jury studies, actually, and in the shadow jury, is what these lawyers and witnesses and trial teams as a whole learn is what they thought was really, really important doesn't matter to the jury. And what they thought was very, very insignificant, maybe a minor fact, maybe a minor detail, is extremely important at the jury level. And again, what we're really trying to do as lawyers and witnesses is meet the needs and expectations of our audience, of our jury. And like I said before, there's this space between what's important to the lawyers and witnesses and what's important to the juries. My entire career is built around bridging that gap.
Yeah. In all the different cases that you've covered, because you really specialize in a lot of different things, really anything. When I say anything, meaning it could be medical malpractice, it could be bad faith, it could be oil and gas, it could be aviation, it could be securities, legal malpractice. I mean, certainly I don't have to list this all back to you, but for the listeners now hearing us talk about this, what's the toughest thing to do? What's the toughest of all these kinds of cases that drag out? Intellectual property, is that up there?
Intellectual property is difficult, too, but, you know, what's really difficult about all this is teaching the attorneys and the witnesses, and I say it's difficult, but it's actually a challenge that I enjoy, teaching the lawyers and witnesses where the rubber meets the road, teaching them what the jury really cares about, what the audience really cares about. It's just like if we were all voters. And look, we really, really care about the economy. We're going to vote for a governor. We're going to vote for a mayor or a president that's really, really strong on the economy. But we've got these politicians who are talking to us about healthcare. What we really want to know is what's going on with the economy. They're telling us about healthcare. So again, it's bridging that gap. It's working in that space in between what the presenter, what the lawyer, what the witness thinks is important and what the audience actually thinks is important is the challenge.
Yeah. I mentioned at the top of this segment's called It's Your Business, and this is your baby. This is your business. You've been a jury consultant for over 15 years, but you've had your own shingle out for coming up on 5 years, over 350 cases. What are you most proud of?
What I'm most proud of is the kinship and the friendships and the relationship that I've developed with some of the top trial lawyers in the United States. I mean, I was looking back at it the other day, and I said, wow. You know, I can't believe that this particular lawyer, this particular company has this much trust and faith in me. I'm excited about it. Every day is a new challenge. But that's really what I look back on is this opportunity to really work with top level, very sophisticated, very intelligent lawyers who really want to do a good job and, you know, have looked to me to sort of help them, again, bridge this gap between what they think a jury wants to know and wants to hear and what a jury actually wants to hear. What I bring to the table, since I'm a psychologist by training, what I bring to the table is an understanding of the psychology of jury decision-making, why juries do what they do, and what the lawyer, what the witness needs to do about it. That's where I come.
Jason Bloom, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. Check out Jason Bloom, the founder and president of Bloom Strategic at bloomstrategy.com. It's BLOOM strategy.com. Thanks, Jace.
Thank you.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Yesterday, officially, or actually a couple days ago, officially, the last tanks, if you will, rolled out of Iraq, and meaning that there's no more troops, so-called troops. I say so-called because we still have people that are there, but they're State Department people who have to, by the way, have protection. But none of our troops, none of the heavy artillery is there any longer. That was the agreement, if you remember, back in the Bush administration that Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister, had set up with George Bush, president, of course, at the time, that was going to happen. So it's been interesting to watch the Obama administration also, I think, manipulate that a little bit. But it doesn't matter, because here's what we're talking about. What's going to happen to this country now? And, of course, we've been talking all along, handicapping this with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. And he said right from the get-go, years ago, because I think we've been talking to him now for 2 years, that inevitably, once we withdraw, especially the way this has been set up, it's doomed to fail. This country is doomed to fail. Jeff, do you still stand by that? Are we already seeing problems?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I don't have a crystal ball, but if you're a student of history and have a little bit of common sense, it's not a hard one to figure out. As I said before, you know, we were in the fourth quarter of the football game in Iraq. We were ahead 2 touchdowns. And President Obama pulled all of our, players off the field, and let's see what happens. Well, the country is splintering apart along these fault lines, both religious and ethnic. The Kurds in the north have nothing to do with the centralized government. The Shiites that are influenced by Iran control most of the government. In fact, today they issued an arrest warrant for the senior Sunni leader which is the other religious segment there in Iraq, who happens to be the vice president of the country, for his arrest. So you've got these fault lines that are going to be exploited by Iran, by Al-Qaeda in Iraq, by insurgents, and the country's going to spiral down into violence and chaos until a strong man arises out of the fog there and puts himself in power.
Yeah. What do you think of the biggest mistake was in Iraq, the situation, how it was handled?
In the Bush administration or the Obama administration?
In both.
Yeah, the Bush administration, their biggest mistake is they tried to do it on the cheap. Once we conquered Saddam Hussein, we dismantled the entire Iraqi military, which led to, again, anarchy in the streets. We had no idea, no plan for the anarchy that occurred, and we didn't have enough soldiers on the ground to do anything. So finally, the president got it right, President Bush did in 2006 with the surge, where we went in and we killed large numbers of people and showed them that, you know, this is what we want, is stability, and we will get stability, and we got stability. And so his biggest mistake, again, was, I think, going on the cheap in the very beginning and having to correct that. The Obama administration's biggest mistake is schizophrenic. They have no idea what they're doing. And a lot of dishonesty, quite frankly. The deal you referred to between President Bush and the Iraqi government was that if we didn't negotiate a new status of forces agreement, we would be out by December of 2011. But everybody anticipated that a new status of forces agreement would be negotiated. Everybody knew that we needed to stay there for a few more years past 2011 to ensure stability. But the Obama administration, failed to get a new agreement. But they never really wanted a new agreement. I mean, he wanted to keep a political campaign promise to get the soldiers out of Iraq, and that's what he did. He put politics ahead of the interests of the Iraqi people and over our own national interests. So now we have sacrificed a lot of blood, a lot of treasure, mm-hmm. and for naught.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Speaking of a lot of treasure, what about war reparations? Do you think we can expect to see them anytime soon?
No, there's no, there's going to be no reparations from Iraq. There's no reparations for the $1 billion plus we spent in Libya. There'll be no reparations from Afghanistan. We're not going to get anything from NATO, the UN, or the countries involved.
Do you think, and you said this at the beginning, talking about surrounding countries, you think Iran is just licking their chops now that everybody, U.S. forces-wise, has exited?
No question about it. I mean, the Iranians have long been at odds with Iraq under Saddam, of course, and they see this as an opportunity to expand their power base. They have Shiite militias all over that country, and a lot of the terror during the Bush and Obama years was directly sponsored, supplied, supported by the Iranians. We have direct evidence of their armaments being shipped over, of their agitation of the Shiites. And that's not even in question. So yeah, they're going to fill this power vacuum, if they can. And we're going to see a lot of trouble in Iraq, unfortunately.
So then if we were to look at, because of course we're in a presidential year coming up, 2012, and it depends, is Obama repeat or is there somebody new in place? If Iraq explodes, does the United States go back in?
No, it's like Vietnam. Once we're out, it doesn't matter what happens to that country. We'll never be back in Iraq.
Mm. Wow. So you think of the people after everything, and like you said, all the blood, all the treasure, everything that was invested. What a way to end this thing and close the curtain, don't you think?
Oh yeah, and a lot of the Iraqis that supported us as interpreters, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of them are going to be killed. They've already had a lot of them killed, beheaded. And so there's going to be retribution amongst the radicals against those that were moderates and tried to support, greater freedom for their country.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about a couple of other quick things. Of course, the other big news that happened over the weekend, Kim Jong Il dead at the age of 69. So that, dictatorship is over. However, it looks like his youngest son takes his place if, in fact, that happens. I would imagine there's going to be some tense times ahead for North Korea, but also South Korea. And people will say to me, well, why do we care? We still have soldiers. How many soldiers do we have on that parallel line?
About 28,000. In South Korea, we've got about 28,000. Most of them pushed up on the DMZ. pointing towards North Korea. So we do have an interest. But if the North Koreans come screaming across the zone there, the number of forces we have is really a tripwire. They're not going to be able to do very much. The new leader, the new dear leader, is Kim Jong-un, who is in his late 20s, but he is a chip off the old block. He's been handpicked by the Communist Party there that's in control of the country right now to replace his dad. And even if this youngster wanted to do something different and had some ideas about, you know, greater freedom or democracy, it would never happen because he would be disappeared very quickly. So he's almost a captive. He's almost a figurehead because the Communist Party rules that country, and they have a very secretive, high-level group of individuals, an oligarchy, if you will, that doesn't want to see things change. And we saw two missiles fired today just to kind of let the world know that, hey, you know, nothing's changing here, folks. So don't sing the Hillary Clinton tunes that we're going to have better relations. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why people think that there was going to be a big switch. That, what was I reading something the other day? Maybe we'll have a united Korea. Ooh, a united Korea? I don't think so. Do you?
No, as long as Red China, Communist China, is backing North Korea, which they are, North Korea will stand. When Red China stops backing them, the country will collapse under its own weight, as communism always does. It can't sustain itself. But Red China sees this as a way to put a thumb in our eyes, and they're going to keep this surrogate nation in power for a long, long time.
Yeah. One last one. Bradley Manning, they've started the whole preliminary hearing stuff with him, with witnesses and whatnot, talking about the documents that he supposedly gave to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, where he had leaked all this stuff. And you mentioned, in fact, about some of the translators and whatnot from Iraq who were beheaded, and there was a thought that maybe some of that could have possibly come from some of the documents that were leaked, because initially they names weren't blacked out. What do you think happens here? Because there's all kinds of counts the military has him on, and it could be everything from life in prison to just stripping him of anything militarily.
Yeah, he's going to be convicted, and then during the sentencing portion, they're going to put forth evidence of what harm he did, and depending on what they can produce, he could be facing life in jail. I'm surprised that his defense counsel hasn't offered a plea bargain, because it's pretty clear that this guy is guilty of tapping into these secret documents and releasing the documents. I don't know what his defense is going to be, but apparently he's engaging in his right to defend himself, and he's pled not guilty, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no kidding. Before we let you fly, St. Mary's School of Law, of course, in San Antonio, what are a lot of the people focusing on, a lot of the kids focusing on that are going through your school now?
Well, our Center for Terrorism Law and this law school, they're, you know, obviously they're looking at the economy as number one thing, and how are things getting better or worse. Luckily, Texas has a booming economy here. Under a system of free enterprise, no state taxes, and we understand that that's how you promote growth, and the Obama administration doesn't quite understand that yet, neither do folks from the far left, but Texas is looking good. Our center is booming along. We're still representing soldiers wrongfully accused of committing illegal acts in combat zones, and we continue to do that.
All right, keep on keeping on. Happy holidays, and we appreciate you, Jeff Batticott, as always, for coming on America Tonight. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate.